Is your business stuck in one spot, struggling to grow? Our 8-week ProFit Business Accelerator at winninggym.com/grow has your back. Sign up now for easy wins. No more struggle, just straight growth. You've got this. Now let's head on back to the show.
You are listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined in studio with two guests today. First to my left, the reigning champion of pickleball. He's got the yellow jacket for the Masters tournament, Mr. Zach Columbia.
What an intro.
Right. And
what an intro.
Across the table, the bearded wonder, Paul Bunyan himself.
There we go.
Randy Engston. What's up, buddy?
How are we doing, guys?
Good. We got a lot to chat about. We are in 2025, and some things never change.
Yep.
What do you mean, Tim? Thanks.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. So we kind of run this episode every year or every 2 years, and it's about what's really happening in the fitness industry in January. If you talk to anybody outside the industry, everybody, like, you see these memes where the guys, gym owners in January counting money, right? Yeah. It's just a stack of cash. It's from those movies. It was like Scarface where they're counting all the money, and the music is so sweet. Yeah. I love that scene. You know, everybody in the industry is like, oh, you must be killing outside the industry. You must be killing it right now because everybody's New Year's resolutions and they're coming in the door and you guys are killing it. It's quarter one and all the things. And I'm like, I've never, ever seen a line of people at my gym, at least in January. January 1st comes around. It's just like every other day. The influx of calls and leads might bump up a little bit. But what's also happening is we're also seeing a big exodus of clients at this time of year that nobody wants to talk about. It's literally a secret.
Yeah.
Like gym owners, I've never heard a gym owner say, dude, we had our worst cancellation month in January, but it's the absolute truth. This is our worst cancellation month every single year. It's January. And then everybody's like, well, I thought it's, everybody's coming in January. There's a lot of reasons. We were just in the other room talking about this. There's so many different reasons why this happens. And I'm going to share a couple and we'll just kind of go around why all think. So number one of the reasons I think this happens is that it's January, new budgets, or people are starting to think about money again. They look back at their last year. Did I get results with this place last year? Am I coming? You know, is everything great? Simultaneously, they're getting hit with ads from every other option out there.
Yep.
And so they have a decision to make and, you know, maybe they move on. That's one hypothesis. What's one for you?
Accountability and the New Year's mindset, right? So it is true. You do have an influx or increase of members coming in and signing up in January. But if you think about the psychology of that person, they are like new year, new me, right? Yep. I'm going to do this. And they come in and if you're smart, you know, you're going to sign them up for an annual commitment, which we do, majority of the time. And those people fall off. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a reality. There's going to be a percentage of those people that stop coming or stop coming consistently. And what we found is no matter how much we reach out to those people and try to hold them accountable, try to get them back in, try to have conversations with them, there's just nothing you can really do. Like somebody has to have some accountability, some discipline to show up. And so those people didn't really get the value out of the program because you have to be here, you have to do the work in order to get it. So everybody that signed up, or not everybody, but a big portion of people that signed up in January are now going to cancel the following January because it's like, well, I didn't get any benefit out of that.
Right. Because they didn't show up.
Yeah.
Right?
And then we're going to repeat the cycle with a group of people that are new year, new me. And then they come back in and it's like, okay, well, next January, those people are going to cancel their membership again. And it's just this like cyclical thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's literally happening because we just went through these folks and you're like, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, guys, we're not having like, we have more signups this year right now than we do cancels, and we will end the year, we'll end the month up, but this will also be the highest cancellation month that we see. Not necessarily the highest freeze month, because that happens in May, but the cycle of cancellations is really what this episode is about. Nobody talks about all these cancels. It's all about the signups. And we could literally say, yeah, we've got more signups this month than, you know, ever, which we do. It's great. Like, we're getting leads from all over the place. But the cancellations is really what we want to get to the bottom of. And so you got these folks that are getting hit with different ads. They look back. They got new budgets. And then the folks with the New Year's mindset that you're talking about, what do you got for your?
Well, I think you're both right, and I don't think there's much to it more than any other month, except for the fact that the numbers stand out more. I think January shines a light on what's happening in a lot of businesses. It's just happening at a greater rate because of the sheer number of, you know, new signups that happen in January. To your point, though, I mean, they're getting hit with, this is the time when they're getting hit with the distraction and the ability to make a different choice and go somewhere else. That's why we see so many of them in January. But if you look at it and you look at the problems that exist, it's show rate, you know, like, or consistency, right? Are they showing up for their sessions? Are they active in the gym? All of that stuff that, you know, the retention of keeping clients, January is going to have a bigger like visibility, I think, than most months, because you have that many more people that came on board in January. Therefore, they're renegotiating their options in January. Yeah. And it, proportionally, it's probably similar to most months, I think. It's just done at a higher percentage, if that makes sense.
I could see that. And so, like, the problem comes down to insufficient usage, right? So these folks fall off, they don't use the gym, and therefore there's no value. I don't know if they really blame the gym, per se. Some will. Oh, you guys didn't.
Well, it's easy to.
You didn't get me to come in. Like, that could be a thing that they're saying. You didn't get me to show up to the event, to the gym to work out today. Guys, we are in one of the freaking stupidest businesses out there. We have to count on other people's motivation that wanes month after month in order for us to pay our bills. I mean, if you think about it.
Yeah.
We have to count on somebody else showing up. Now, Tim, of course, this is the way it is. You need to do a better job of getting people to come in. Okay, so let's talk about how we can try to get people to come in more. We do a couple things right off the bat. We look at the number 8 quite a bit. That's been proven to be the red flag when somebody falls below 8 visits in a 30-day rolling average, right? Like, or 30-day rolling window. If somebody's coming in 6 times or a significant drop-off where they're coming 12, 16, 18, and then it's like 10.
10, 6.
That's another sign. So we track that. We reach out to folks. We've got automation. We've got also a tool that we use. And we have people. We have accountability coaches, right? Like, different gyms will put an accountability coach in. But do you think that accountability coach is effective if somebody isn't responding?
Well, I mean, regardless of them responding, accountability is something that nobody wants. Nobody wants to be held accountable.
No.
Right? So, I mean, instantly, the client receiving those texts, they know that they're not going to the gym.
It continues reinforce, like, how bad they feel. It's almost worse.
It can be. Right. How that is a delicate conversation. Right. And I think that it's not just a matter of how many touch points, you know, reaching out manually, getting on the phone, like doing all those types of things. It's, you know, like we were talking in the other room, people decide to make a change because they're either in a state of pain or they're moving towards pleasure. Right. And quite often the decision to have a personal trainer is because they're not happy with where they're at. And it's very difficult to remind somebody of the things that they signed up with, the reason that they got started, you want to throw that back in their face halfway through the year, three quarters of the way through the year when they're not showing up and expect that that's going to be the driving force that's going to get them back in the gym. It's just a difficult
It's a reminder of how far they are away still.
Sure.
And it's like you are telling them, hey, man, you failed. You're continuing to fail. Let me throw that back in your face and make you feel even worse about it so you definitely don't show up. It's like what I mean, I'm throwing my hands up. Like, what? Let's have an open conversation. What can we possibly do to get somebody motivated to then take action towards coming in and showing up those 8 sessions a month? If they don't respond, you can't have a conversation. They don't pick up the phone. They don't read your messages. What else can you do? Knock on the door?
Yeah. I mean, there's a, what we're establishing here is that accountability is a myth. Accountability in this industry is this phantom buzzword that everybody throws out there. Our clients say, I need somebody to hold me accountable. The gyms say, we're going to hold you accountable. And at the end of the day, by definition, the word accountability in of itself, the only person that can hold you accountable is you.
Correct.
You have to have responsibility for your one's own actions, right? And so it's very foolish for us and pointless for us to rely on accountability as the solution here. Because if somebody's not going to respond to you, they're not going to respond to you, yeah, right? There's absolutely nothing we can do to get somebody to show up, you know? And outside of showing up at their house and being like, getting the car, like, how do you think that's going to go? Right. if that person doesn't even respond to you through text message or respond to you through phone call, or they do respond and then they show up for one workout a week later and then they fall off again, there's really nothing you can do. And so
I'm saying
the only strategy that I have found to be most successful is to create momentum.
There you go.
You know, to create momentum because by definition, momentum is a series of events that keep someone in motion, right? And so once they fall off, you've already lost. I mean, it's very, very hard. The majority of the time, you're going to be unsuccessful getting them back in. You have to have things built into your delivery system, into your client journey, that are events to create and keep momentum for your clients, to keep them in motion. Because once they fall off, you've already lost.
Imagine a place where growth is the only option and where challenges become opportunities. Welcome to the Iron Circle, the epitome of business acceleration, personal growth, and professional camaraderie. Across the country, from every corner of the fitness industry, business owners just like you have found their tribe.
And when you really think about putting these 30 heads together, well, there's probably 200-300 years of gym owner experience.
Here, we dream big and execute bigger. Our members speak of breakthroughs, of transformations, of stepping out of their comfort zones to redefine success.
We just had our highest month ever since almost 7 years in business. We're close to $46,000.
We've turned isolation into community, uncertainty into solid action plans, and struggles into growth.
We can attract those prospects, convert them to clients, have them raving about the experience of your services, even referring other clients, all while you're sleeping.
And for you to get the support and the knowledge and the experience to just accelerate up and beyond that, that's the ultimate hack.
Because together, we are more than gym owners. We are visionaries. We are pioneers. We are the Iron Circle.
Visit ironcircle.net to apply.
I'd go one step, I mean, to elaborate on that or go one step further. I mean, as we're kind of openly kind of coming up with ideas, I mean, the one thing that keeps people doing the things that they're supposed to be doing is the discipline, right? And when you can't rely on motivation, you can't rely on, you know, good faith and their word and all of that type of stuff, if they're not willing to discipline themselves to do the hard shit or to do the things that they don't want to do, like showing up for their workout, at the end of the day, it's just
We can't rely on their discipline either.
And that's
there's nothing that we can rely on that is going to put something into somebody else.
Yep.
That's going to keep them going. When times get tough, it's easy when the momentum's there. Like, we could talk about milestones and gamification and the loyalty board and T-shirts and high fives, chest bumps, and way to goes. But then somebody's mom dies and they go into depression and you call them and they're not answering their phone. They're not talking to them. They're not leaving the house. And then that gets to be a longer term thing and you just don't know what happened to them. And then, like, you think you did something wrong. No, they had an unfortunate death. Like, what a shit business. Again, let me repeat that, that we're in. I mean, it's the reality.
Well,
it's
we reality. See,
but every business has
sure
the downside. There's no perfect business and we love what we do and we're great at it. And the only way you can survive in this business, yes, is keep people coming. Hopefully you attract the most disciplined, most motivated clients out there.
I was going to go back to the lifestyle.
Lifestyle. Yeah.
The lifestyle client. Right.
Because if they're dependent upon the result, if they're dependent upon, you know, all of those things, like, you want the person who has the decision that's predetermined. A couple days a week, this is what I'm going to do, bar none, regardless of any of those external influences, circumstances, yep, regardless, you know, motive, like, there's just as many people that in those circumstances, their outlet is the gym as opposed to,
yep,
you know, avoiding all of those types of things. And so, yeah, can we, you know, you can't target, you know, the lifestyle client any more than you can anybody else type of thing. You know, we speak to it and we want to make sure that they fit the business and that is kind of what they bring to the table. But at the end of the day, I mean, they could absolutely just be giving us.
They, you know, shake out to become lifestyle clients. You could throw 100 people in and then like 30 of them will shake out to be lifestyle clients. I don't know if you could identify them.
It's difficult. There's some signs, but the thing about lifestyle clients is, you really have to mess up to lose a lifestyle client. That's the, it's so easy to keep those people, you know, cause they're just like, I'm gonna come in, I'm gonna work out. Coach turnover doesn't impact them. You know, like, we've got people, like, one person, we had a coach that left and she was like, if I cried every time a trainer left, I'd be like upset all the time. She's like, this is no big deal. Like, why is everybody upset about this? Because she's a lifestyle client. So I'm gonna be there 4 times a week, no matter what.
Let's define lifestyle client real fast. Just everybody's like, what do you mean? I know, we all know what it is, but go ahead. Lifestyle.
A lifestyle client is someone that's going to work out no matter what, and they really have no goals. Their goal is to get a workout in that day. It's a part of their lifestyle. There you go. And they're self-aware enough to know that they can't put together a good workout program, or they don't want to, they don't want the bandwidth, the bandwidth to doing that. Like, hey, I'm going to show up. Somebody's going to have my workout designed for me. They're going to push me a little bit and I'm going to feel great. And then I'm going to be back tomorrow or the 2 days from now or whatever. And that's
it's more of like a long-term goal, you know, or like, you know, cause I mean, I'm sure they have goals, but it's not like, hey, you know, definable over X over time type of thing. You know what I mean? They're not trying to lose 10 pounds in 30 days.
Exactly.
They're not, you know, no, they want to move better. They want to feel better.
It's the opposite of what you see marketing agencies pushing out there, lose 20 pounds in X amount of time, which is another great reason not to do those things. And if you think about us sitting at this table, we're lifestyle clients. Like my goal is to go work out this morning, right? I did check. Okay. Dues paid. Hashtag dues paid. son. But yeah, you know, when I tell clients, when, you know, I do have conversations with some, and even the last ones that I spoke with, I forget her name, but like, she's still here. I say, when you get to a point in your life where when you don't go to the gym, you feel off, you've made it. You've made it. That's the goal. Like that should be the goal. When you don't go to the gym, your day isn't right, is off. You don't perform as well. You're not as clear. You wish you went. You're regretting not going. You're like, all of those things, that's when you made it. Now you're officially in the lifestyle club, right? Let's give them a T-shirt for that.
There you go.
Honestly.
Well, I mean, even back to the pain and pleasure, like that is a point where like they've kind of grasped the fact that like now my actions and not showing up, I feel negatively around myself for not doing not following through with my commitments. That's hard to, I mean, It comes with time. It comes with, you know, some of the consistency, some of the, like, the internal intrinsic motivation. Like, you have to have all of that stuff to become that lifestyle client. How do we develop that?
Well,
routine.
Light bulb just went on when we're talking about this, and we've talked about lifestyle clients for a long time, and I guess this hasn't occurred to me until now. Those people they take responsibility for their own actions. They're accountable to themselves, because I'm thinking about our lifestyle clients, and it's like, they know if their weight isn't where they want it to be, that it's reflective of their diet. And they'll tell you that. They're like, yeah, I know, like, I got to clean my diet up. Not like, you need to fix my diet. You need to hold me. It's like, no, it's on me. Yeah. I'm going to keep showing up for my workouts, but when I'm ready, I'm going to fix that. And they take responsibility for that.
Okay. So we need to attract clients that have extreme ownership.
There you go.
So you could target Jocko. You could target his books, right? I mean, if somebody likes that book, they're of the same mindset of what we want our clients to be.
Yeah.
They have extreme ownership. It's my fault. The reason I didn't get what I needed, it was my fault. It's always your fault in that book. It's possible, but your market's going to be so tiny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's the honest truth. If you could target lifestyle clients only, I would spend double the acquisition cost, because they're going to stay 7 to 8 times as long.
Easily.
Think about that for a second. Versus what most everybody listening to this podcast is always looking for is a weight loss transformation, fat loss client, where they come in, they reach a goal or they don't reach a goal, and they leave either way. When somebody's got the pain, you get them out of pain, right? They're more likely to leave. We don't need you anymore. You solved the problem. Thanks. High five. And then you're scratching your head. I just helped you lose 157 pounds and you're going to go back to what you were doing before? And they do. They cancel their membership.
Yeah.
They're out of pain. And it's the thing we talk about on stage a lot. It's like this pain, it drives people. The credit card comes out, it starts to go down. And then the better you are as a coach, getting better results, the more disciplined you have, your programs, the more you keep your clients eating right and training right and sleeping right, the better results they get. And unless they're an athlete that needs to stay at top condition at all times, that client that you just got all those results for, they're going to leave. Isn't this a stupid business?
Well, you know, as we're talking again, something else came up, and you guys are doing a really good job at it lately with the clarity around the programming, around the phased approach and why the programming contains what it contains. I think there is a gap there that could be education, because when you guys deliver such a superior level of service, it seems easy.
It does.
Right. And so when they 100%. Get the result, they didn't have to do the programming. They didn't have to come up with all of that type of stuff. They had to show up and do the work. And that was, in the comparison of things, that was easy for them to do. Yeah, no shit. They're going to walk away when they got the result because, I mean, they checked the easy box. You know what I mean? But now they don't realize everything that goes into getting that result. And if we're not communicating that to our client, if we're not clear on, you know, the background and the methodology and the intentionality around the programming, the nutrition programming, all of that type of stuff. If we make it seem too easy, I bet that's part of the reason people can just instantly, I could go do that myself.
It 100% is. Last week in our team meeting, we were having a team meeting, brought everybody in. I said, hey guys, true or false? The more organized we are, the more professional we are, the better we are and efficient at delivering the training, the more perceived value there is for the client. And they all kind of like pause and they're like, true. And I'm like, that is absolutely false. Because in the client's mind, from their perception, the more unorganized we are, the more we're hustling, the more we're, you know, going over here to grab this piece of equipment and this piece of equipment, the clients would prefer that we took 3 minutes before their workout to just write something down and take them through that than to have this big elaborate mapped out plan, because now it feels like, oh, that was for me. They gave me, you know, and so I was like, obviously there's cons to being unorganized. So then how do we overcome that? And it's the education component, right? It's stopping in the middle of the training session to highlight to the client, hey, here's what is happening right now. Here's everything that went into your program. Like selfish segue with semi-private pro, but there's a reason why gamification is built into it. When we change somebody's score and they go from, you know, they level up one score, they go from +1 to +2, it pops up on the screen. And that is to create momentum through education. So we have an opportunity for the coach to then say, hey, look at this. Congratulations. We just saw your squat mobility or quality of your deadlift or hinge to, you know, you have more range of motion. You have more stability. You got rid of that compensation where you were cheating a little bit. And now we just added value. That's momentum. Now, if we don't seize that opportunity and we're just like, okay, cool, you got that little notification, we don't add value. Right. And so everything just is, we just, hey, we're super organized and we're feeding, you know, we're running cattle through a system. And then that starts to feel less valuable.
So like when systems become sterile almost.
Hey guys, as you know, at Built to Grow, we're all about systems and scalability. And that's why I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Semi-Private Pro. Several years ago, I was in our gym looking around and I noticed our coaches were staring at their clipboards, struggling to stay one step ahead of the clients. And I thought, gosh, there has to be a better way. So I tasked Zach, our fitness director, and I said, dude, we got to find a software that would enhance our clients' training experience and increase our coaches' levels of engagement. See, we're all about client experience here. After countless demos, we realized there was literally nothing designed for our training model. So we set out on a mission and I said, look, we got to create an app that is designed specifically for semi-private training. And I can tell you guys this firsthand, this is taking our training to new heights and I'm confident it can do the same thing for you. See, with Semi-Private Pro, you can streamline your training system, enhance client engagement, and scale like never before without spending hours on programming. To learn more about how you can get started with Semi-Private Pro, head on over to special link here, semiprivatepro.com/BTG. That's Built to Grow. So just head on over real quick to semiprivatepro.com/BTG to check out a demo for yourself.
Well, that, but to your point, going back where the coach is running around and sweating and getting the plates and loading this person or running over here and like, hold on guys, let me grab this. You're right. The client thinks there's more value in that coach
100%.
Than one that's kind of like going through the systematic approach because we're so efficient.
Yeah.
This is exactly why when a plumber comes out to your house and fixes the biggest problem you've ever had in 10 minutes and they charge you $780, the people get mad. It's like, that was only 10 minutes. Well, it's because, well, did I fix your problem? Like, this was a great, listen to us on a podcast. The lady got the problem solved in 10 minutes and she called the office, was complaining about the technician and how much he charged. And the guy on the phone was like, well, did we fix your problem? And she goes, yeah. And so what you're doing is you're penalizing us for knowing what we're doing.
Yep.
You're doing a great job. She's like, well, it only was 10 minutes. Why was it $785? And he goes, would you rather my technician come back out, fiddle around for 2 more hours and then charge you $789? Or would you rather have your problem fixed now? And she was like, felt stupid. It's like, well, yeah, I guess you're right. Because we're good at our job doesn't mean just because we do it better and faster and cleaner without, you know, without delay, doesn't mean it's any more less valuable. It affects more value. More,
yeah.
I give you more time back.
The trades, that's a big thing with the trades. And I've got a lot of friends in that industry, right? And there's that old saying, it's like, you don't pay me for the 10 minutes of work. You pay me for the 10 years of knowledge it took for me to do that job in 10 minutes. And that's where the gap between the client's understanding and the expertise that you bring to the table, if that's not connected through education or feedback and you're not closing that loop, that's the difference in value.
Yeah.
The perceived value versus
it's wild.
It's
backwards.
And going back to the January thing, it's like, how many clients do you have right now? Like count backwards 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whenever this episode comes out, how many clients over the last 4 weeks have you had come to you and be like, hey, I'm gonna work out on my own. thanks. I can do this on my own now.
They canceled?
They canceled their membership. Like, I bet you our listeners are going to have a handful of those people. And it's like, well, okay, where did we drop the ball in explaining to that client, communicating to them, you can't go do this on your own. You don't know what pipe is broke, right? You don't know,
exactly.
You know, you're not sure where to dig and what to do once you get there. And it's the same thing with your training program. If all we're doing is running our clients through training sessions, even if those training sessions are really smooth, really well thought out, if we don't educate them, if we're not bringing everything back to like, hey, here's what is happening in the mm-hmm. background in order for us to be able to do this, our value diminishes.
Yep.
That's why the education is so clutch, right? So that's why important. that board went up. We were getting instant feedback during installation. Like, oh, this makes more sense now. We had done a podcast because we identified this problem after a conversation with a client. We identified that our clients don't realize what goes into the back end of the program.
Yeah.
They just think we make it up on the fly.
Yeah.
Sometimes they think that we don't know what we're doing. And it's like, how can that possibly happen?
Yeah, with repetitions of movements and things like that. They don't understand that that's intentional, not...
Yeah, yeah, like, hey, we did a squat last week. Well, right. That's by design. Like, you're supposed to do that.
You should be.
But they think randomized workouts, scramble mode of the coaches, that's what's valuable. Like, to me, it's the opposite of what's valuable. It's like the least valuable. And so, like, there's this inverse relationship, just like you said.
I think the key, though, is that finding those points of feedback, or like you said, not necessarily stopping a session, but like giving that, you know, the cue, the even if it's just a milestone, but tying it to what got them there, right? The hypotrophy phases and the understanding of the happenings in the background, because otherwise they're comparing what we're doing with individualized programming to nothing different than a WOD or a group training, you know, program. And if you cannot differentiate yourself, you are the same. The perceived value is way different than true value. And perceived value can be very, very finicky to show light in the client's eyes.
Perceived effort is perceived value in our clients' minds. So something that we have found is we will do, so we have our program, you know, mapped out, and it's like, okay, we've got strength training these days. And then on this day, you know, our clients that train five times a week, they're going to do a metabolic workout. And the client will come in and they'll do the metabolic workout. And they're like, this was the best workout ever. Like, I love these workouts. I got such, you know, I just felt so amazing from this. And what that communicates to us is like perceived effort equates in the client's mind to results and to value. And it's like, well, yeah, your heart rate wasn't as elevated during a training session, during a strength training session. However, that was probably way more beneficial to you. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it was a program approach. So it's, hey, you need all of this combined collectively. And so that's one thing too. Like that's why people go to the appeal of like an Orange Theory or a Zumba class or something like that. And we know those people go and they do that for several weeks and then they plateau and it's nothing like, happens. Okay, nothing happens because it's ineffective, but perceived effort. They're like, well, I worked really hard.
What a stupid business we're in. It just goes back to like it's just wild because all of what we're talking about is all based on the client's perception, which mm-hmm. is usually the opposite of what it is.
Well, they're here because they can't do it on their own.
Person that's left this month that said, I'm going to go do it on my own.
Yeah, but they've seen it. You know what I mean? Now they think that, but again, that's the difference between thinking you know something and actually knowing something. Because there's probably 1% of those clients that leave that have the ability to just continue down the path. Yeah. Like there is some, right? Very, very few. Right?
Yeah, there's that chart. Oh God. It's the people that know the least, they feel like they have the most confidence. Right? and then it goes down after they start, oh, maybe this is harder than I thought. And then it goes down to what they call the valley of despair. And then you start actually knowing what you're talking about. And then you start knowing and you get up to a confidence level. So it's like this peak, dump, valley of despair, growth. And that's, it's for people in business, mm-hmm. like the novice that comes in, like they just learned this CrossFit level one certification on a weekend. They have the highest confidence. They know the least, but they have the highest confidence, right?
Yep.
And that's just, it's just the scale. But yeah, it's just an interesting thing. And then you get into like the outside the gym stuff, which is another thing that affects the results that they get with you in your gym. They could be going home, which we have no control over, and sabotaging, which is technically what's happening almost all the time.
Sure.
Is their nutrition, their supplementation. Speaking of supplementation.
Ooh.
Magic Mind. I got some more delivered. This is that brain supplement guys. That I've been taking, yeah. man. Magic Mind.
Sign me up.
Yeah, you took this last time, man.
Yeah.
Speaking of, guys, go get this. I've talked to these guys. They hooked us up with a deal. So if you guys want Magic Mind, it's these daily shots that I take for cognition, brain focus. They're these little green shots.
I've never had this. This is good.
These are awesome. They're so good. And
tell them what you said to me the last time you took it.
It's really weird, and you know, I don't sign my name on a lot of things, but this is something that like I've actually noticed a much sharper, much clearer. But the last time that we took one, I went home, and the wife was in the kitchen, like she peeled a banana, like across the house type of thing, and I'm like, "Are you eating a banana?" She's like, "How did you know that?" I'm like, "I could smell it from here." And I'm like, I think.
Super senses.
Like insane. Like to the point where like that week I was like, what is, something is different. And the only thing that I did differently was take that Magic Mind.
Magic Mind. I don't know.
That was cool.
See how you feel.
Yeah. I'm ready to crush the day.
Yeah.
But speaking of the supplementation, like there's all these things lacking in the folks' diets that we work with. And then they don't take the supplements or they take the garbage supplements. And we're on the hook for that,
yeah.
Because if they take or eat like crap for the next, you know, week, none of the workouts are going to matter. Right. So like, again, we're at their,
but to Zach's point though, the difference in those clients versus like you have the lifestyle clients that are going through that, but you have the results driven clients that are going through that. The lifestyle clients can take the ownership on, oh yeah, I ate like shit all week. I understand that I'm not getting the results. I should be in the gym.
Yeah.
But I'm going to continue doing what I'm supposed to be doing and continue to go to the gym. The diet's on me to clean up, not you guys failed me because I went and ate, you know, Krispy Kreme donuts 7 days a week.
You guys want to hear something really messed up? So if your clients have terrible diets, they're not going to get any results. Unless they're a lifestyle client, they're not going to keep working out. Okay, so you're going to lose that client. They're going to cancel their membership. If a client is training with you consistently three days a week for 6 months and they're not losing any weight and you're like, hey, we got to get your diet dialed in, right? We got to get you doing nutrition coaching. We got to fix this problem. If they take action and they solve the problem
yep.
through the nutrition, the workouts were not the answer. The nutrition was the answer. So in the client's mind, why would I continue to pay for the workouts when the nutrition solved my problem?
Yep.
Yep. That's messed up. And it's happened.
Yeah.
And something more recently happens is the hormones.
Yeah.
You get them fixed on their hormones and then they start getting the results. It wasn't the workouts.
I don't need the work. I don't need you guys anymore. I got my hormones fixed.
It's a stupid business. Guys, if this isn't a sign to go freaking sell your gym tomorrow morning, I don't know what it is, man. I don't know what it is. By the way, I've been doing this almost 16 years. Still loving it. But yeah, this is the reality. Here's where we are. We started with January cancellations. Then we got into accountability myths. Then we got into the New Year's mindset. And we got into all these out, you know, the lifestyle client. This is a great episode, guys. I'm glad we brought Zach on because we were just, all this was happening in the other room.
This is real world today type.
We were talking about all this in the other room. And I go, hey, Zach, you just earned yourself a spot. Saddle up. He's like, damn it. I shouldn't have said that.
Clear thing. Your schedule.
Clear your schedule for the next hour.
Yeah. Well, we don't need only sign-ups out there. But anyways, guys, that was a little open riffraff episode, but hopefully that helped you guys and you understand a little bit more about the business itself. If you guys need help with anything, there'll be some links in the show notes. Go grab a time to book a call with Randy. And hopefully that helped you guys. Until next episode, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show. Bye. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.